Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 23rd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau. It takes an optimistic look at the futures market, predicting even higher prices than have already been seen in the corn and soybean pits. But we'll also hear that those prices are not accurately reflecting what's happening on the ground in the cash market as futures converge to deliveries. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to help us take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March contract in the wheat pit was 29 cents lower at 9.05. July contract, your new crop harvest month for the soft red at $8.60¾, down the 30-cent limit. Nearby March corn, 19 and three quarters lower, settled at $4.69¼. The May on out settled 20 cents lower, down the limit for the day. May futures at 4.81¼, July at 4.90, and December, the new crop harvest month, down 20 at $4.84 in the corn pit. Soy complex down the limit across the board, 50 cents lower, $11.89½, the nearby March settlement price. The May futures at 12.07, July at 12.20¾, and November beans, $11.67½ for the new crop, down the 50-cent limit. March bean meal futures at 322.80, down $14.10. March bean oil futures at 49.68, down 2 for the day. Live cattle futures nearby February contract, $90.45, down 57.5 a hundredweight. April futures, 70 cents lower at 93.62½. January feeder cattle at 98.35, 30 cents higher. The March contract at 67.5 higher, finished at 103.25. February lean hogs at $55.25, finished 2.5 cents lower on the day. From the outside markets for the day, March crude oil at $87.01, now down $2.20 for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 76.441, that's up 0.171, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 100 points lower at 11,871 at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul, I want to check that Dow Jones Industrial Average number because our numbers for the Dow, at least everything else is real time, but the Dow's behind. And I think that we heard NPR at the top of the hour tell us it had been trading higher at that time. Do you have a
65 points right now on the live wire.
Up 65 points, so yeah. It's come back. Let's talk about what happened at the Chicago.
72 right now.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade. How did things open this morning, and what was the trade like last night?
You know, early evening, the market trading higher, and then it weakened during the early morning hours, and new crop wheat was lower, and this morning we did see this weakness in the soybean area and the wheat, and then ultimately the corn came down. A couple of things, the private weather people tell us that Brazil's got a beautiful soybean crop on the horizon, and if the rains materialize in Argentina, they'll have an excellent bean crop as well. And one of the things that has encouraged wheat prices, particularly spring wheat, to be so strong is the worry about planting soybeans instead of planting spring wheat. And we also get the feeling that the wheat crop in Argentina is better than what the Argentine government's been talking about, and basically the harvest is over with, and they still are reluctant to export wheat after this major sell-off today. It looks like, from our vantage point when we are out at these meetings, there does seem to be, in the real cash corn areas of central Illinois, a tendency for people to go back in and plant corn. But in the other areas, there does seem to be some shift on planting more soybeans. So if we have a tremendous crop in South America, and maybe more beans than what the USDA is talking about, maybe the price is going to change, and we're seeing subtle shifts in the marketplace. But the real factor, I think, is this worry about recession. The commodity funds were long tons of corn, soybeans, and wheat. The American farmers basically unloaded a lot of inventory on them, and the marketplace did see some breaks in today's strength. We did also hear yesterday that the egg set was smaller, which means that high feed costs are also having an effect on egg production, which is a big consumer of corn, soybeans in the U.S.
Now, am I hearing you right that you're telling me that it was really the wheat market that started to roll over first as we went into this sell-off over the last 24 hours?
Well, I think it was more beans and then the wheat and then corn.
Okay, so it was the beans. I was thinking, I was trying to get an idea of whether if wheat was rolling over, whether
we did talk to our Minneapolis exchange or traders up there, and they said, you know, this was the big thing with when the government came out with their acreage. You know, the farmer was basically saying, you know, we're going to plant less wheat and plant more beans. When I checked with our people and friends in Kansas City, they just said that, you know, we had several people out at the stock show in Denver, and they said, you know, if there's less wheat, we'd like to know where it is being planted. And we hear that in Texas. We hear that in Oklahoma. We hear that in the state of Kansas. And we don't know whether the government had an accurate report. Just like in the soft red winter wheat areas, we think there's more wheat, particularly in the south, planted. So, you know, there is still, a logical and a good debate on whether the government did get the wheat acres right on this last report.
Well, let's take a look at the soft red numbers in the wheat. March down 29, but I want to talk about where they really are. 905 for the nearby March, but July, the harvest month at 860 3/4. They've closed the spread dramatically. Is there downside risk yet in the wheat market, or is the old crop closing in on the new crop?
Was one of the functions where the supply of old wheat was a little better than we thought. But I think the big concern is will we have it? The report really surprised the marketplace with the smaller hard red winter wheat acreage and also the spring wheat acreage. That combination, I think, was the major surprise. You know, when we're at these outlook meetings, we did talk and have talked about India basically going in and building a strategic reserve that probably pushed the wheat price up $1 to $2 higher than it probably should have. We've also seen Argentina basically dabble in the thing. But as a general rule, we have seen major expansions of wheat acreage in the world, and also Australia's crop, although hurt some, we're seeing a countrywide rejuvenation of their moisture pattern, and we're also going to see better oil seeds and milo crops from that country.
Let's take a look at the corn and the soybean market more exclusively now and talk about the drop in the beans down 50 cents. But the Chinese were in as buyers today, I think, for
four cargoes anyway.
I think Dave told me eight when I walked in this afternoon. But
we did see a difference in the trade today. The new crop was the first to go down, and then the old crop begrudgingly fell, and of course I'm sure it was, as you mentioned, Chinese pricing. One thing that we have to say here is, of course, we know that the cotton acres are probably going to be dropped in the U.S. We know that the pasture land is going to also be a little smaller in the U.S., and of course there's a lot of double crop acres. But also this thing of South America, you know, this is a big signal for South America to increased production, and time will tell. You know, it might not be much this year, but it's definitely going to be next year when we start harvesting and when they start planting next fall, you know, the November-December time frame here in the U.S. I mean, I'm sure we'll see a bigger acreage, and it's not uncommon to see that acreage grow at least 5 to 6% down there.
Are you under the impression that the volatility we've seen, including today's trade, is a choppy sideways trade before another move upward, or is this the potential of the beginning of the end?
Well, you know, I think it's a different market for three reasons. This acreage, needing acreage in the world for corn and to some extent soybeans is going to be a very big stabilizing influence, as well as the energy usage as far as the things are concerned. But it is going to be a slowing down. The market probably got it a little ahead of itself. But as far as the old classic boom-bust, Earl Butz kind of classic conversations and his speaking tours in the Midwest, this isn't exactly like those days. And because we still need to bid up for a lot of acreage in the world, and that's going to take several years to get the job done.
And are farmers asking you what they ought to be doing today?
Well, it got pretty serious, on Monday night and also all day Monday, because, you know, people do want to have at least some comfort of talking to somebody. I think that definitely the phones have stopped ringing. We did see a lot of cash move yesterday, and I would imagine the cash is pretty well cleaned up. And the farmers have sold a ton of stuff in here, Todd, and hopefully this will catch in here. The big problem, of course, is these very large money center banks did a horrible job in running their business, and it is the major factor here. And of course, unfortunately, these people should have known better. And one of the other things is that our large money center banks are the premier money center banks in the world. And it looks like to me we're going to basically give that control away to, you know, the Far East and Europe to some extent. We're no longer going to be the premier money center banks, and that's going to hurt our economy in the long run.
On that note, Paul, we'll let you go for the day.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
You too, Paul. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast from our own meteorologist, chief meteorologist at the radio station, Ed Kieser, looked like. He says tonight in northern and central Illinois and far northwestern Indiana, cloudy, some light snow during the evening hours, then clearing and colder overnight in the north central and northeastern parts of Indiana, cloudy with some snow showers, local lake effect snow, squalls. In central Indiana, cloudy, some areas of light snow in the south, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered flurries. Lows will range, he says, from 13 below zero in far northwestern parts of Illinois to 15 above in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in the north and central sections and northeastern part of Indiana, cloudy, some lake effect snow showers and squalls. In central and southeastern Indiana, cloudy, scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly sunny and cold. Highs tomorrow ranging from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 23 in the far south. A winter storm warning, by the way, is in effect for LaPorte and St. Joe counties in the north central part of Indiana from 7 p.m. Eastern time this evening to 1 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, and a winter weather advisory in effect for Elkhart, Stark, Marshall, and other counties in the north central part of Indiana until 7 p.m. Eastern time this evening until 1 o'clock tomorrow. A wind chill advisory in effect for all of northern and northwestern Illinois and Indiana from midnight tonight through noon tomorrow, and for north central Indiana from 7 Eastern time this evening until 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with a complete look at today's agricultural news.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
It's not only supposed to predict to some extent the price of commodities like corn and soybeans in the future, but as the future turns into the present, the price in Chicago is supposed to reflect the actual cash price of the commodity in the country. That has not been happening.
I'll have more with University of Illinois Extension's Daryl Good on the lack of convergence in the corn and in particular the soybean market. Farmers depend on the free market in Chicago to work. When done right, traders at the CBOT, the Chicago Board of Trade, help set the price of commodities in the cash market. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good says that has not been happening in recent months.
The big story is the problem that we've seen with convergence of cash and futures prices at the delivery markets as the futures market matures, as the contracts mature. This process of coming together in value known as convergence is a major factor in deciding the performance of futures contracts. Are they working the way they should? And what we've seen is since really mid to late 2006 are on again, off again problems with actually seeing convergence, starting with wheat and then with soybeans and corn, and really continuing now with soybeans right through the maturity of the January 2008 contract, when you would expect to see close to a zero basis at the delivery markets as these contracts mature. We've seen values 60 to 80 under, and really is a signal that there is a bit of a problem with the contract specifications or the delivery process, or something is amiss that we're not seeing consistent convergence in these markets.
These on and off problems started in the wheat market. The CBOT has changed the specs for wheat, beginning with deliveries in July of this year. But Daryl Good says the market seems to have already fixed its problems even before the CBOT changes have been activated. In his mind, the problems with convergence in wheat, the fact that the futures price and the cash price did not come together, were not altogether related to the fix the CBOT will institute in July.
As you indicate, the basic problem of non-convergence in the wheat market has disappeared even before these changes take place. So it says to me that those were not the underlying problems in the what we saw with non-convergence, that there are other issues at play. If in fact those were the real problems, we would not have expected it to cure itself until those were implemented, but clearly that's not the case.
So what is the problem? Well, Daryl Good and other agricultural economists believe there is a straightforward answer. The price of futures in Chicago is too high, overvalued compared to the actual worth of the commodity. He believes this has happened because unprecedented amounts of speculative money have flowed into the Chicago grain markets.
And so we go right into these delivery periods with futures above cash, and then the delivery process is not robust enough in order to force that convergence. We would think there would be enough deliveries, theoretically, so that we would force cash and futures prices together at that maturity. But that mechanism is not strong enough that we've seen failure of that to happen. And as long as we're in these really highly speculative, strong price markets, I think we're going to be prone to seeing these problems either persist or come and go as we move forward.
Good suggests the problem could possibly be fixed if the delivery system now in place for corn, soybeans, and wheat were replaced by a simple cash settlement. So rather than having long positions in the market stand to take delivery of a crop, a method to determine a national or regional cash price might be developed. The cash settlement would not require delivery of the commodity. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL Urbana. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you can hear most of the daily ag programming live if you'd like, or after the fact as MP3 files. You can even sign up to get them as podcast. It's all at willag.org. While you're there, make sure you sign up for our weekend newsletter. It, like everything else on the site, is absolutely free. In today's Listener Opinion Forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochkus takes a look at what's ahead for agriculture in the year 2008.
Thinking about the passage of time tends to make a lot of folks a little anxious. Many of us may feel uncertain about what the year ahead will bring in terms of good times and unexpected challenges. For many of America's farmers, January is a slower month. The crops are harvested and planting season lies a few weeks or months ahead. However, it is a mistake to think all is quiet in rural America this winter. The activity has moved indoors as farmers clean and repair equipment and make plans for the year ahead by studying their figures closely and watching the commodity markets carefully. Goldman Sachs, the world's largest securities firm and a renowned banking powerhouse, released a report before Christmas that shows its analysts expect the price of soybeans to rise 29% in 2008, making them the best investment in commodities. A large deficit in bean supplies exists because of increasing sales to China and increasing production of biofuels. Goldman Sachs analysts said that explains why Goldman Sachs predicts November beans will reach $14.50 a bushel on the futures market. As for corn, another key U.S. crop, the bank projects December 2008 corn prices will increase 12% to $5.30 a bushel on the futures market. As with beans, growing demand domestically and internationally contributes to the strong prices. The year ahead continues to look bright for the biofuels industry, as previously suggested. While some have said problems may loom for this industry, the energy bill signed into law a few weeks ago should help the market for fuels made with ethanol and biodiesel continue to expand and mature. That news concerns ranchers and other folks who raise livestock and rely on increasingly expensive corn to feed their animals. The good news is that pork exports are relatively strong and beef cattle supplies are tight, buoying prices. While some Asian countries continue to bar imports of U.S. beef, there are reasons to believe some major markets will reopen in 2008. While the prices farmers receive for their crops are higher now than they've been in years, costs for seed, fertilizer, fuel, and additional supplies are more than keeping pace. These issues are going to continue weighing heavily on the minds of farmers across the U.S. this winter. Weather, perhaps more than any other issue, is a big unknown. Drought that started in the southeast and expanded outward was a major news story in 2007, and it seems dry conditions may persist in the months ahead as a La Nina weather pattern appears to take shape. While uncertainties abound at the outset of 2008, one thing we can count on is the resiliency of American farmers. Optimistic gamblers by nature, they look to the future with confidence in their abilities and strength in their hearts. This is Amy Rochkis with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkis' comments are her own. They reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
On a Wednesday afternoon, Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us to take a look at what happened with the cash basis today on a big down day in Chicago. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
I bet you were busy today.
Oh, yes. Yesterday and today, I spent a lot of time on the telephone and trying to explain why things were doing what they were doing and what I thought was going to happen within the next week. And I didn't have a lot of answers, you know.
So I bet you did a lot of hand-holding through today. Did cash basis follow this down sharply, or did it gain on the market a bit?
Well, you know, the basis levels are not only based on what you can sell corn and beans for now, but a lot of it's based on, you know, having to carry a lot of margins into next year. So you're seeing some basis levels that you normally don't see. But as far as the cash basis is concerned, cash corn basis has improved somewhat here in the last week or 10 days, and not to any great degree. We'll have to get this January stuff out of the way. So, yeah, it's just not been good. Basis levels are worse, and the board going down, yeah, it's just, and we may not be through with this thing yet, Todd.
Any concerns about your markets to the southeast? Are you going to be able to continue to feed them, and are they demanding a lot of corn and soybeans still?
Well, yeah, there's still good demand for rail corn. Our exports are really good, and the end user's using a lot. And, you know, farmers have still got a lot to sell, so I don't think corn's going to dry up anytime soon. We've still got some two arrives to come in for January, and we have some pretty good two arrives for March. So I think right now we're okay. Now, if these guys really decide to slam the bin doors, then, you know, it's possible that these basis levels could pop back really, really quick if corn dries up going into the elevators.
And what are your bids for the day?
All right, cash corn today is 437. Cash beans are 11.11. And new crop wheat is 741.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock with Terre Haute Grain. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Governor Rod Blagojevich has brought in just over $2 million in campaign cash from last July through December. According to campaign finance reports filed with the State Board of Elections, Blagojevich spent about $270,000, leaving him with a little over $2 million in his war chest at the end of the year. But other potential Democratic challengers are also raising money. Attorney General Lisa Madigan has slightly more cash than the governor. Comptroller Dan Hines has about $1.7 million. And even newcomer Treasurer Alexei Janulius has $650,000. The city of Urbana is preparing to celebrate its 175th anniversary all through the year. Alderman Dennis Roberts says one day out of each of the next 11 months will be set aside for the celebration. The first is a free event on February 17th at Lincoln Square Village, featuring live music, historical readings, and tours of the Champaign County Courthouse. Champaign County is also celebrating its 175th anniversary this year. An Indiana Senate committee has approved a proposal that could revoke business licenses for companies that knowingly hire illegal aliens. Supporter says the state needs the legislation because the federal government isn't doing enough to stop illegal immigration. A bill that would impose a statewide smoking ban in most public places in Indiana is dead for at least this session. Indiana House Public Policy Committee Chairman Trent Van Haften of Mount Vernon says there's no more time to consider it because of the focus on property taxes. After undergoing a series of cancer surgeries, film critic Roger Ebert says he'll have yet another operation tomorrow. According to a statement in the Chicago Sun-Times, Ebert will undergo surgery to address complications from previous operations. The Urbana native's previous surgeries include a tracheostomy that's left him unable to speak, although he continues to write. Ebert says he's written several advanced reviews and other columns to appear while he recuperates. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. WILL has made a significant commitment to providing area farmers and agribusiness professionals with the best information possible. But we need your support to help continue and grow this service. If you own or manage a business, consider supporting WILL through one of our business programs. Call 217-333-0850 for more information.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, let's start with the growing regions today. Maybe you can take us through South America, Rondonopolis and Brasilia, Cuiaba, some other places that they might be busy at this time of year looking at growing crops.
All right. Well, let's start with Argentina. It certainly looks like Argentina has seen some significant improvement in soil moisture over the past week. Most of this was late last week, and we probably have already been over that. But I do think that the majority of the region from Cordoba into parts of Entre Rios, which is a primary soybean production region, got some significant amounts of rainfall. The only extremely dry area in Argentina right now is in the far south, down in corn country in parts of La Pampa and Buenos Aires, and both provinces will have an opportunity for some shower activity as we go forward over this next, maybe 3 or 4 days, taking us through the weekend. So there will be an opportunity for a little bit of improvement across that region. I do not expect the dryness to completely disappear. In fact, it'll still be very much present in the subsoil. And then next week will come along, and most of Argentina is likely to suffer a net drying trend. and that will probably continue into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. So we got about a week, maybe 8 or 9 days worth of net drying and some warming temperatures that will likely raise the level of stress in the far south and probably deplete topsoil moisture across some of those soybean areas. So we'll be talking about some stress about a week and a half from now. For Brazil, probably the most significant theme change, if you want to call it that, over the next week to 10 days will be in Rio Grande do Sul. Rio Grande do Sul is going to see net drying over this 10-day period, and that means that soil conditions will likely be considerably drier than they are today. Right now, the conditions in Rio Grande are just about ideal, and that will disappear, though, as we go forward over this 10-day period. Temperatures will be seasonable, but there won't be much rainfall. The earliest that we'll see rain back in Rio Grande probably won't be until February 5th and 6th, which is a long ways out in the forecast. The rest of Brazil gets an abundance of rain. In fact, some flooding will be possible on a periodic basis. I don't expect the floods to cause any kind of negative impact on production potential, but the bottom line is that there are no other areas in Brazil that are going to have a problem, and even Rio Grande will need to have greater amounts of dry weather later in February to really make it an issue.
And then if you look a little closer to home, it appears that things are going to be pretty cold here tonight, not very warm tomorrow. I know it's winter, but it's going to be in the teens maybe only tomorrow in the Champaign-Urbana and parts of Illinois, and then back down into the single digits, I suppose, for the evening after as well.
Yes, it's certainly going to be cold for a while, and it is winter. This is usually about the coldest time of the year normally. Traditionally, we were talking about the last days in January and early February typically having the coolest average temperatures. So we're right on target. And if you believe that and want to stay focused on that, it's all uphill from here. It's going to look better and better, right? We're going to get closer to spring and temperatures will start warming up. Well, we hope that's true. In the meantime, we are looking at some very cold weather over the next 24 to 48 hours. It'll be one more shot of similar conditions to that of last weekend. The biggest difference is we have greater amounts of snow on the ground right now in Indiana and Ohio that will help protect some of the winter crop there. But Missouri and parts of central Illinois are still lacking some of that snow cover. Still a little bit of concern out there about the fate of some of that winter wheat. I still contend that there will be a pretty good chance for the wheat to set new tillers in the spring and will probably still be okay. Outside of that issue, though, I don't think there's much else to be concerned with in the U.S. crop areas. Hard red wheat country is favorably moist right now. Most of the storm systems that come up over the next 10 days to 2 weeks will disfavor the high plains region from West Texas into western Nebraska, but the rest of wheat country will get spit and spat at every once in a while. And the drought in the southeast will continue to have opportunities for some increased runoff to improve at a very slow rate the water supply situation.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis and cash grain analysis, as well as the weather segments, right there on our website. It's all new and easy to use at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.